Perhaps at times you've heard that the church needs to modernize itself, that the church needs to bring itself up to date, that the church must keep up with society, keep up with the times. That at this time, we see many different movements within our own country, within other countries, to redefine marriage and the family. And long before the time of Jesus, the Jews themselves had modernized their understanding of marriage and the family. And to use the lingo of today, they brought themselves up to date. They had introduced divorce. And the discussion at the time of Jesus about modernizing was not about introducing divorce, but how liberal their divorce law should be. The Pharisees go and ask Jesus, under what circumstances would it be okay for a man to divorce his wife? Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife? Under specific conditions, divorce was an accepted practice among the Jewish people during the time of Jesus. It was regulated by the law of Moses found in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 24. And that Moses had permitted divorce because of the hardness of the people's heart. That he only permitted it and that the man could divorce his wife. That a woman could not divorce her husband even if he had committed adultery against her. All because of the hardness of their hearts in those ancient days. And so in reply, Jesus goes and tells them that divorce is not part of God's plan. Jesus restores to it the original purity, the dignity of man and woman in marriage, as instituted by God in the beginning of creation. He reminded them of God's plan for marriage from the book of Genesis at the beginning of the Bible. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, God has joined together, let no human being must separate. That God established from the very beginning the unity and indissolubility of marriage. And Jesus goes and declares and describes the teaching of Moses as a concession made to God's original intention because of human stubbornness. So at the time of Jesus, the Jews had drifted away from God's plan of marriage and family. And Jesus reminded them again of God's plan, of what God had originally intended, of the equality of man and woman in marriage. That the Jews had modernized themselves and brought themselves to date, and in doing so, they had wandered away from God's plan. And notice that they didn't even know that they had drifted away from God's plan for marriage and family. Perhaps we could say the same thing about ourselves, about our modern society today. And then in private, Jesus' disciples question him further about this teaching on divorce. It's to his disciples that Jesus lays out the implications of the teaching he's given to the Pharisees by explaining that remarriage after divorce is adultery. That Jesus' teaching is even more restrictive than the teaching of the Pharisees, which permitted for remarriage. That Jesus further distinguished his teaching from the cultural norms of his time by applying his words equally to men and women. That even if a woman had divorce, which they weren't even permitted to do, that she also would be committing adultery. And then when I hear people say things about the church teaching on marriage and family, as the church needs to modernize itself, the church needs to get with the times, I can't help but remember, look at this passage of Jesus, that he goes and discusses the Jews trying to modernize family life, and that he goes and tells them that they're wandering away from God's plan. The mission of the church isn't to keep up with society. The mission of the church is to do like Jesus, to protect his teaching. that even if 10%, 20%, or even 90% of people wander away from God's plan, we have the compassion on them and want to help them in any way we can. But the church cannot be unfaithful to the teaching that God has given us, that the teaching God has entrusted to our care, simply to be popular. The indissolubility of marriage is not a whim of the church. It's not some law the church has come up with later on since the time of Christ. That it's a precept of natural law, of divine law, handed on to us by Christ, as we see and hear today in the gospel. And it responds perfectly to our nature and to the supernatural order of grace. So when a Christian realizes that this teaching applies to everyone at all times, he or she should not be afraid about people reacting against it. It's a fundamental duty of the church, of us as Christians, as the witnesses to the faith in Christ Jesus, to reaffirm strongly the doctrine of the indissolubility of marriage. To all those who in our times consider it too difficult or impossible to be bound to one person from the whole of life, to those caught up in a culture that rejects the indissolubility of marriage and openly mocks the commitment of spouses to fidelity, it's necessary for us to reaffirm the good news of the definitive nature of that conjugal love that has in Christ its foundation and strength. Being rooted in personal and total self-giving of the couple and being required by the good of children, the indissolubility of marriage finds its ultimate truth in the plan of God as manifested in his revelation. That he wills and he communicates the indissolubility of marriage as a fruit, a sign, and a requirement of the absolutely faithful love that God has for man, that the Lord Jesus has for his church, that he is the bridegroom and the church is his bride, that the Christ renews the first plan the Creator inscribed on our hearts, on the hearts of man and woman, that he brings them back into equality and raising marriage to one of the sacraments, one of the seven sacraments of the church. That in the celebration of the sacrament of matrimony offers a new heart. That thus the couples are not only able to overcome the hardness of heart, but also and above all, are they able to share in the full and definitive love of Christ, the new and eternal covenant made flesh. That in marriage, the man and the woman, they're called to imitate the love that Christ has for his church. They are called to go up on the cross with Christ, stretching out their own arms, sacrificing for each other, for the good of each other, to bring each other to salvation and that of any children they may have. And that in doing this, just as the Lord Jesus is the faithful witness, the yes of the promise of God from Genesis, and thus the supreme realization of the unconditional faithfulness with which God loves his people, so Christian married couples are called to participate truly in the irrevocable indissolubility that binds Christ to the church, his bride loved by him to the end. To bear witness to the inestimable value of the indissolubility of marriage and fidelity of marriage is one of the most precious and urgent tasks of Christian couples in our time. When we hear people say the church's teaching on marriage and family, that the church needs to modernize itself, that we need to consider what is the sacrament of marriage? What is it really about? That a sacrament is received not only for a certain length of time, but it's received for life, that it's forever, and that the sacrament of marriage is for life, unless nullity is shown, which means that there was and never a fact of marriage to begin with. That when a couple marry, it's not just the couple marrying, that it's also three people entering into a union or a covenant of love, the two spouses and Jesus. The sacrament of marriage is not just living together, but it's more beautiful. It's Jesus united with and blessing the couple. That there are three people in the sacrament of marriage, the couple and Jesus. That is why the sacrament of marriage is for life and not just for a time. And so when people say that the church must modernize, we need to ask them to reflect on what the sacrament of marriage really is. Could it be that now, as at the time of Jesus, as society has wandered away from God's plan, that the church, like Jesus, needs to remind society of God's plan for marriage and the family? That we need, just as much as good holy priests, that we need good and holy marriages. We need good and holy families. That way we can show society the true light of Christ. We can show society the great love, the great faithful love that God has for all of us.